Hello and welcome to Welton Baptist Church. Today some of us are meeting in person in different communities whilst others are meeting here on YouTube. The great thing is that even though we aren't all together in one physical place, we are able to occupy the same space in time together. Let's really enjoy worshipping God today and digging into his word. Our prayer is that you will meet God in a powerful way. Let's worship together.
Well, it's great to be able to join the Welton Church family again and to continue your series looking through Acts, particularly the Acts of Suffering. The title and the briefing that I was sent for this talk has got me thinking. If we were to imagine Paul, that great leader of the early church, to write a book, and I'm very aware he did write a few that are well known, or in today's terms, if he was to be invited onto a TV chat show, we would recognise that here was someone of significance who's done more for the spread of Christianity than could ever have been imagined at the start of Luke's account in Acts. Paul is the spiritual giant. Here is the apostle. And surely his book would be a chart topper and his TV appearance would be in big demand by all the networks. And then the shock and the surprise, for in enters a rather small man. And according to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 10, not much to look at and not much to listen to. Paul would then perhaps describe his story, how he had this amazing one-to-one encounter with Jesus Christ on the Damascus Road. A story that has gone round the world and is known around the world. But then he would start to talk about the many times he's been beaten up or sent to prison, or the times he was flogged and beaten with rods, pummeled by rocks, shipwrecked three times, immersed in the open sea for a night. How he would describe then doing lots of travelling, fending off robbers, struggling with friends and with enemies. On one occasion, he would describe how he had to crawl through a window and escape in a basket. Basically, this account of story after story, having been at risk in the city and in the countryside, endangered by the desert sun, sea storms, drudgery, long and lonely nights without sleep, many a meal that's been missed, blasted by the cold, and added to that the daily pressures and anxieties of all the churches. And he would describe how, when he often got to the end of his rope, he felt the desperation in his bones. When someone is duped into sin, an angry fire burns in my gut. I can imagine the TV host saying, well, that's quite a list, Paul, but have you got some encouragements for us? Because our hearers and our readers and our viewers like to hear of positive stories. And I can imagine Paul saying to this, well, that is what you get when you follow the call of Jesus to pick up your cross and to come after me. And then he would say, I've discovered that following Jesus is definitely not boring. In fact, God allows these sorts of things to happen when plans don't work out, when problems and pains come in too close. It's then that the grace and strength and power of Jesus gets to work in and through my weakness. I've learned to take my limitations in my stride with good cheer. I brag about my humiliations, which make me more like Jesus. So when I get cut down to size, whether it is abuse of accident or opposition or bad breaks, I simply let Christ take over. And so the weaker I get, the stronger I become. As many of you might have noticed, I've been using a paraphrasing the description from 2 Corinthians chapters 11 and 12 in the Message paraphrase. And as you can tell, there are just so many escapades in Paul's life that are probably not the incentive to anyone to follow after Jesus like this. And yet, friends, these are the very stories and examples that teach us why we should trust God all the more with our one life. So back into Acts, and I'm going to be particularly focusing in on Acts chapter 27. I want to also illustrate it with the lines from the well-known hymn Amazing Grace, and I'm not going to sing it to you, you'll be glad to know. But you'll know these lines, or they'll be in your memory bank somewhere. Through many dangers, toils and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. We could, in reality, dip into Acts at lots of places to pick up this theme of dangers, toils and snares. And of course, the driving passion for the Apostle Paul is to make Jesus Christ known. From Jerusalem to the ends of the earth was the mission mandate. So Paul's life has to be grasped within God's big story. And friends, the same is true for my life and for your life. Our story is to find its meaning in God's bigger story. So with Paul, and I'm here dipping in at Acts 27, having faced a series of opposition with riots and charges levelled against him, court trials, he now has to contend with nature and the power of the sea and the storms. Acts 27 verse 1 starts with a bit of context. Paul is still under arrest and he's being handed over to a Roman centurion, Julius, and off they set sail for Rome. The weather is fine at this point and we can imagine sailing in and out of those lovely ports along the Mediterranean coastline. But this account in Acts 27 is not to give us some sort of weather warning or top tips for sailing. Note there are certain things here that Paul and no one can control. The weather is one, first nine verses. When Paul's advice is ignored, verse 10 and through to 12, that's going to be disastrous. But the Roman centurion is going to listen to the skipper of the boat, not to the Apostle Paul. But thirdly, the ferocity of this storm that stirs up from verse 13 onwards. Out of nowhere comes this storm. As is typical on the Mediterranean, these opposing air currents, swirling clouds and ferocious sea, the northeast wind, was the most feared of all winds for sailors. And so we go from a position of calm in verse 1 to verse 20, at which point people are desperate for their lives. And the ship is taking a pounding, the cargo has been jettisoned, and there's general despair all around of anyone surviving. And Paul on board cannot do a thing about any of those factors. But he has Jesus in him and with them, and that makes the world of difference. Through many dangers, toils and snares, I have already come. I think Paul would be singing that if he had known that one on his repertoire. Here was the next batch of storms and dangers and toils and snares. And I was thinking about the initials of dangers, toils and snares, DTS for short. And many of us know those initials stand for another meaning, discipleship training school, DTS. And that is precisely what this is going on here. I've got two pictures in my mind as I say this. I think of the stormy sea and the fact that the realities of faith are so often discovered on a stormy waters, not placid waters. When we used to live in Jersey, many of the folk in the church had boats, which they kept. I don't know if you store a boat, but you store a boat in a marina, and that's where their boats were. And so it was easy to talk a good talk about sailing and escapades and adventure from the comfort of your marina or from the comfort of the gathering on solid land. But the real test of your sailing ability, of course, is out on the open seas, in the storm, in the difficulties. And similarly, we do not go looking for crises, but the reality of our DTS, our discipleship training school, is that faith grows on the difficult seas. The other picture I have in my mind is that of a swimming pool. And I'm not a keen swimmer, I'm not a confident swimmer. But I notice that there's always a lot more noise in the shallow end. There's a lot of laughter, a lot of mucking around, a lot of trivia. It doesn't really matter, it's shallow. But in the deep end, that's where the serious swimming and work happens. And friends, as I speak to you, I just sense God wanting to move us from shallow waters to deepening our faith in Christ, to know Christ, to prove Christ. These are the acts of suffering that Paul would be pointing to and that we can learn from. So back into Acts 27, the shipwreck is described from verse 21 through to 44. And that allows Paul the chance to speak to everyone on board. It's a word of hope. Keep up your courage, he's saying to them. Sure, we're going to run aground, but there is a word of hope here. And I find that very challenging because I don't know about you, but I know when I'm going through some really sticky times, difficult issues, problems, crisis, I know there's a lot of me wants to go very naturally insular. Woe is me. The grump in me comes out often, I have to admit. The lack of perspective. So let's draw from Paul's experience here something of a Christian confidence that God longs for each disciple to have. And it will come through the training school of life. And here, notice Paul is open and receptive to hearing a word from God, even in the storm. And I find that staggering. Verse 27 indicates that this is the 14th night of their lockdown on board the boat. So notice that Paul's trust in God is far from theoretical. He is practical. The sailors are still taking their measurements, as sailors have to see the depth where land is and the rest. Those disciplines continue before they can drop anchor. But more is practical. Paul is urging those on board to eat something. And there is this lovely image of the breaking of bread, even on board the ship in the horror of the storm. Paul gives thanks to God for the bread in front of them all, verse 35 says, and shares it. Friends, I feel I have to be careful how I speak here. Because not everything in life, not all problems and tragedies are simplistic, far from it. Sometimes we're aware of tragedies where not everyone survives. One of the young people from my last church who I married and we saw them start up in family life together 2 weeks ago, she was so tragically killed in a car crash with three of her children. You may have heard it on national news. And I do not understand why God allows that, and we grieve and pray for her husband and the toddler who survived that accident. And yet, there is something that even in the horrors of loss and the horror of tragedy, that there is something of a DTS hope. And I don't say this glibly. God is over and beyond all the circumstances that they are going through, and the family are proving them. And that's coming out in the press statements in the recent days in a remarkable way, that there is a sort of holding on to hope and faith in Christ, even in and through death and loss and tragedy. I don't understand how God is somehow in the suffering, but somehow he is, and praise God. And for Paul, in this incident in Acts 27, which in a way is a safe distance to look back and think about. 275 others with Paul are recorded in the ship's log that day. And there is this deep conviction that Paul shares that even though the ship breaks up, even then God will save us. I was given a very helpful picture a few years ago when I was going through some difficult and bad experiences. And a friend said to me, remember, God keeps his eye on the thermometer and his divine hand on the thermostat. And I found that a very helpful picture. With all the questions and the uncertainties of suffering and the mystery of it all, that somehow God, in God's power, the Lord Jesus Christ, keeps his eye on the thermometer. He knows how much we can bear, how much we can cope with. But he also keeps his divine hand on the thermostat and can adjust that. And I found that very helpful. And as I wrap these things up, may the bigger picture here help us to remain faithful to God's bigger work in the world. For with Paul, God had plans to get him all the way to Rome. Why? Well, the end of Acts, a couple of pages later, tells us that God's salvation was being sent to the Gentiles as well. For two whole years, Paul was then going to stay in his own rented house as a prisoner, but able to welcome all who came to see him, to speak to them, to proclaim, is the word, the kingdom of God. And he taught about the Lord Jesus with all boldness and without hindrance. Friends, the Apostle Paul is not on a pedestal. He's a tremendous example, maybe a great confidence booster for us all. But I'm not the Apostle Paul and neither are you. You're you and I'm me. And God's plans for our lives, for our DTS, our discipleship training school, is that Paul has another couple of years to run before his end comes, before his final challenge, until his mission is complete. So I wonder, how is it going for you? I promise you, I do not speak glibly over these matters, but one thing I've noticed as a pastor over the years has been how those who have been through the most dreadful dangers, toils and snares have displayed the most vibrant faith. Some of the most amazing acts of kindness and generosity and hope amid terrible challenges. And their secret, as I've observed closely, knowing Jesus, loving Jesus, saying to Jesus, not just through baptism, but through every day of their lives, Jesus, whatever and wherever, I will go. I will be obedient. And for Paul, this encounter with the risen Lord Jesus has changed everything. And friends, Jesus is still in the business of calling women, men, boys, girls, young people, every category, to hear that call, that invitation to come follow me. And will you say again, even today, maybe for the first time, I will follow, whatever, wherever. You know, as we do that, as we respond to the gracious call of Jesus, we have his promise back to us. I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. The Apostle Paul would have hung on to that, and so do I. And so must we. And maybe we will be able to sing Amazing Grace with new or renewed joy, recognizing that our life story is being framed by our DTS through many dangers, toils and snares. I have already come. 'Tis grace has brought me safe thus far. and grace will lead me home. May we have the same courage as Paul, by the same Holy Spirit of God, who helped him in Acts 27 and then into Acts 28 and then into the rest of history, and continues to help us through every DTS, now and always. Friends, let's go for it, and let's encourage each other in these things as we allow Jesus to work through the good and the bad, through everything he's got for us, pushing forward by faith, being brave, being obedient, experiencing the power of his Spirit. Lord, my prayer for us listening and sharing this together is that you would make us the people you want us to be, stepping forward, not caving in at the first hint of problems or snags, but a resilience that goes after you all the days of our lives until our work is done. Thank you, Lord Jesus, your promise is with us to the end of the age, until your work is done. May we relax in those promises and prove you through our DTS in all things we ask, in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Bye for now.
God's word is so powerful. If God has spoken to you today and you'd like to chat more, we would love to chat with you. Please do get in touch through our website. It's www.waltonchurch.org.uk. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a great week. God bless.